I don't know if you've ever taken the time to think about why this place is called Pilgrim Camp. I've been coming to Pilgrim Camp many years, and I know that there maybe are a number of reasons why it's called Pilgrim Camp. But maybe we could just start with a definition. And I want you to keep in mind the song we just sang. Don't let that slip from your mind just yet, because I'll try to bring it together. But what is a pilgrim? Now, it's going to be a little difficult these next few days if you don't respond. So please help me, because I know that you all know what a pilgrim is, I think. A big hat and a gun. Yeah, he's like, I don't know if he's still out there on the tree, is he? He is. He's out there, right? His pilgrim hat. And we think of these pilgrims that came from England, the Puritans that came over. But what can we define a pilgrim? Can you be a pilgrim without wearing a big hat?
Someone on a journey.
Someone on a journey? What do you want? Someone who takes a trip in the name of God. That's good. Because if you go to the dictionary, it talks about going to a place that's special or sacred, that has a special value. So it's not just taking a trip necessarily. It's not just wandering aimlessly. You know, there are people who are wayfarers, right? And they just kind of make their way through this world and maybe somewhat aimlessly. But a pilgrim has a destination in mind. Now, do people take pilgrimages today? Make
Yes.
pilgrimages.
Yes.
Anybody? Have any of you been on a pilgrimage? All right. So if you don't, if you've not, what, where do people go on pilgrimages? To Pilgrim Camp? Well, maybe.
To Mecca.
To Mecca. What were you going to say?
Arabia. Jewish people go on to sacred places.
Okay, like the Wailing Wall, right?
Yes.
Sometimes. Right? And in the Islamic faith, they go to Mecca, and I think you have to go at least once in your lifetime to Mecca. And even some of the what would be called Christian faiths, the Catholic faith, they make pilgrimages, and you have to climb a certain number of steps on your knees and kiss each step. Did you know that? And people do that. They make these pilgrimages. And the thought is, and I think in pilgrimage, is that people are desiring to get closer to God. They're trying to somehow go to God, however they perceive that. And we as Christians, we too are on a pilgrimage. Where are we going?
Heaven.
Heaven. That's the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is heaven. And we have that wonderful book entitled The Pilgrim's Progress, right? And the person, what was his name? Graceless? He started out as Graceless. How did he help me? Was he Graceless? Well, he started out in that city of destruction. And he wasn't happy there. And somehow there came to his ears the word. He caught sight of the evangelist coming towards him, and the word that evangelist gave him was flee from the wrath to come. And so he started out on that journey. And that book depicts his journey through life, as it were. Along the narrow road, he goes through the gate, the wicked gate, and he goes to the cross, and he gets on the narrow road, and his destination is heaven. But in a sense, I believe for us, we're all on a pilgrimage, and the pilgrimage is really to find God. And yes, we make a pilgrimage. Some of us come here to camp, and really we're pilgrims because we're seeking more of God. We're seeking to be nearer, still nearer. And I think that's the cry of the pilgrim heart. I want to come nearer to you, God. I want to be closer to you. And so really every day of our lives ought to be a pilgrimage. I want to know you better today. We've heard these truths over the years emphasized to us. Lord, I can know you better today than I know you, I've known you before. I can love you more today. And so that attitude of journeying on, going on, I'm not standing still. I have to go to God. I have to go to God, my exceeding joy. And so for this year at camp, our brother Eddie picked those pilgrim songs, and my heart was drawn to a group of psalms and that are put together. There are Psalms 120 to 134. Now, I tried to give everyone a book. Did anyone not get a book that's here this morning? And I don't think we'll take the time this morning necessarily to read through the introduction, but it speaks about how the Jewish people were required to take a pilgrimage three times a year. They were commanded by God through Moses to go up to Jerusalem three times a year. Every man had to go and appear before God in Jerusalem. And those were three feasts. There was the Feast of Passover. And there was the Feast of Pentecost. And then there was the Feast of Tabernacles. And at those three times in the year, they would leave their homes and travel up to Jerusalem. Now, why did they say they were going up to Jerusalem? We say we're going up to camp, right? Why do we say that?
It was in the mountains.
It was in the mountains. Jerusalem was the highest point, one of the highest points in that region, the land of Israel. And so, as these people left their homes in the lowlands, they would go up to Jerusalem. Now, if you open your Bibles and you look at those Psalms, Psalm 120, they all have a little title underneath them. What does it say in your Bible?
Song of Ascent.
A song of ascents. Someone else have another?
Mine says a song for pilgrims ascending to Jerusalem.
That makes it really clear, right? A song for pilgrims ascending. What do you have?
A song for those who walk through to worship the Lord.
Say that nice and loud again, because. Okay. All right. The King James says a song of degrees.
Song of degrees.
Song of degrees. And you'll notice that from 120 all the way to 134, that's the title for each of those psalms. Now, it seems that at some point, these psalms were put together into the collection that we have today. They were written at different times. Some of these are psalms of David. Some of these psalms were definitely written after David's time, at the time of the captivity and the return from Babylon. But a later editor put these all together for us. And it's believed by many that these songs were those that were sung as the pilgrims made their way up to Jerusalem. Now, in the New Testament, we read about Jesus going to Jerusalem. Remember that story when he was how old? 12. Remember, he went up, the whole family went up. And I think that gives us a picture of how this took place. Yes, there maybe were solitary pilgrims who traveled along the road, but normally they would travel together. And why would they travel together?
Safety.
Protection, safety, right? Company. And it was a happy time for them. And they would travel in bands. And Jesus' parents didn't even know he was missing. Why? Because his whole company, the relatives, the families, they were all traveling together, and they went a day's journey before they even realized that he was gone. And so, as I said, this took place year after year. Let's go to Jerusalem. And we'll ascend to that place where God dwells. You see, for the Jewish people, Jerusalem represented, and the temple represented where God dwelt. It really was the high point of their national, pride or existence? Jerusalem, you know? Solomon's temple was there. The Ark of the Covenant was there. That's where God manifested himself. And so let's go to God. Let's go to God in Jerusalem. So that's kind of the backdrop for these psalms. And you can read what I gave you there. It says that on the second page, it's not quite possible, impossible, it is quite impossible to determine what the order was in which these psalms were sung. But we're going to start at 120, and we'll go through 134. And if we do just about two every morning, we should be done by the time we leave. And And they're really short. Some of them are only 3 verses, 4 verses, 5 verses. And so we'll get through. And as we do this, we'll try to see if it, you know, how it fits into the historical context. Meaning, if you look at 121, and we'll come to that, maybe not this morning, but maybe this evening. It really speaks of the journey, protection along the way, the traveler's psalm. 122, it's definitely a psalm where they arrive at Jerusalem. I stand within thy gates. And so you can see that these psalms do fit into that thought, that they were sung by these pilgrims, but they also have meaning for us. We are pilgrims. Not only because you're at pilgrim camp, but because you've chosen to follow Jesus. And you've started out on that narrow way. And as a pilgrim, your destination is Zion, the place where God dwells. And I'd like to even just narrow that down a little bit more. It's really God Himself. We're seeking His presence. We're seeking to know Him better. And so we're going to begin this morning with Psalm 120. What I'd like you to do in your books, if you could, there's space, there's not a lot of space to write. I was kind to you this year. No questions. But I'd like you, you know, as you read, I want you to write down what blesses you. You know, there's no right or wrong answers here. What is God saying to you? Did Sister Mary say that this morning?
Yes.
Let God speak to you. So write down what blesses you. Maybe it's only one sentence. But you know, when you put the pen to the paper, I forget what the percentage is that you retain more. Does anyone know what that is? It goes up, you know, maybe
yeah,
twice
like
as much.
Yeah,
right. So write something down. And next to each psalm, where it says Psalm 120, we're going to try to give it a title. Okay, maybe just to sum it up, what the psalm is saying. And maybe it's really just maybe one verse in that psalm will give us a meaning for that psalm. Now what we'll do in reading, we'll have, I like just to have, we'll go around the room and we'll read a verse. We all seem to have different translations, so it's hard to read in unison. But David, if you'd read the first verse, and then Derek the second, James the third. Should we go this way then? You read the fourth, fifth, and then we'll be done, okay? Yeah, David.
I call on the Lord in my distress, and He answers me.
Save me, O Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongues.
What will He do to you, and what more besides, for deceitful tongue?
He will punish you with warriors, sharp arrows, with burning coals, and with broom tree.
Woe to me that I dwell in Masesh, while I live among the tents of Kedar.
Patrick?
Verse 6. My soul hath long dwelled within the hedge of peace.
I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war.
Interesting little psalm. Now, what does that have to do with pilgrimage? My mom still shakes her head. She doesn't know. What does that have to do with pilgrims starting out on the journey? This has been called the Psalm of the Start. This is how they began. What do you notice about it? Dad mentioned the first verse last night in prayer meeting. In my distress, I cried unto the Lord. And what happened? He heard me. He answered me. Isn't that a wonderful thing? We call out to God and He hears us? Well, apparently the psalmist, he was in distress. And what was his problem? Why was he crying out to the Lord? Well, look down in the next verse. What does it say? What is he asking for?
Control of his tongue.
Right. One way to look at this is he's recognizing his own sinfulness. He's saying, deliver me, deliver my soul from lying lips and from a deceitful tongue. You know, maybe he had gotten to that point where he realized he couldn't control his tongue. Have you ever gotten to that point? I've told you the story when I was maybe 12 years old, how the Lord really convicted me about my tongue. I was a good boy. Right, Mom? Yes, thank you. And it wasn't that I was cursing or I was using foul language. We had come home from a meeting. Church, I think it was either a Sunday night or... And you know how siblings... Well, my brother, he just got me. I don't know what he did to get me upset. And I said something nasty to him. I don't even remember what it was. I got angry with him. Older brother. And when I got home, the Lord just didn't let that go. I felt bad inside. I felt bad. And I had a devotional book, Mountain Trailways for Youth. A great little book. I've kept it for my kids. I'm just waiting for them to be old enough. It's probably not in print anymore. But the reading for that day was about the tongue. And you see how the Lord just brings those things together and helps us. Because He doesn't want us to be the same. He wants to deliver us from lying lips, from a deceiver. He wants to change our hearts. And it was the verse from Psalm 119. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Guard the door of my lips. I quoted that yesterday at table worship. Set a watch. It's a good prayer. And God just brought that verse to me. And I had to repent. I had to repent. I had to say, God, forgive me. God, change me. God, deliver me. Set a watch before my mouth. You know what that means? Post a soldier there. And don't let anything come out that shouldn't come out. You, Lord Jesus, take control of my tongue. The things I say. This psalm goes on and it describes the judgment upon our deceitful tongues. God will punish. God will bring judgment. Like a warrior's sharp arrow and like burning coals. That thought of the burning coal reminds me of the prophet Isaiah. You remember that story? What was the cure for his deceitful tongue, as it were, his unclean tongue? What was it? It was a coal from off the altar. The angel. As soon as Isaiah said, woe is me, I'm undone, I'm a man of unclean lips, the angel of the Lord took that coal from off the altar and touched his lips and cleansed him. And then the last verses, he's got another complaint, as it were, in my distress. What else distresses him? Not only his own sinfulness, not only the deceitfulness of his tongue or his mouth, but what else distresses him?
Where he lives.
Now, Dad has told me that these two tribes, Meshech and Kedar, are one is a descendant of
Noah, a grandson of Noah, Meshech, the son of Japheth. And he is known by the ancients as being a fierce, troublesome individual. He headed groups of people that caused problems. And Kedar is the grandson of Abraham, the son of Ishmael. Father of the Arabs.
And so these tribes were not necessarily friendly with the children of God. But rather we know how even through Ishmael's seed, how there was those warring factions that developed. And even in those days, they were at war. And so he's complaining about those he has to live among. I'm for peace and they're for war. You know anybody like that? Try to make peace with them? They can't say a nice word back. And so he says, woe is me. Now what does this have to do with pilgrimage? Can we make this fit somehow? Is there an application here? What do you think?
Yes, I think so.
You think so?
Yeah, before you start on your pilgrimage, you have to get rid of that burden, the sin. You have to repent. How can you set out on the pilgrimage if you don't, first of all, recognize your sinfulness and repent? Jesus, when he began preaching, he preached what? Repent. So it is. If you haven't repented, I don't know that you've entered the pilgrimage just yet. Repentance is a good word. It's really a good word. It's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. And I have to smite on my bosom and say, woe is me, for I am a man that's undone, unclean. We're all made of the same material. There's none righteous, none of us. We're only sinners saved by grace. And so it's a wonderful thing to repent, come to the Lord and say, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord. Take from me the deceitfulness, the lying, the falseness. I don't know which Wesley it is that wrote, Jesus, lover of my soul. You know, it's good to make honest confession. No, Christ, are all I want, more than all in thee I find. Raise the fallen, heal the sick, raise the dead, and so on. Lead the blind. Just and holy is thy name. I am all unrighteousness, false and full of sin I am, but thou art full of truth and grace. And then it follows, plenteous grace with thee is found, grace to cover all my sin. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Keep and make me pure within. Keep and make me pure within. And so I think if we are wanting to enter upon this pilgrimage, we have to enter that door. And it's a good thing to keep in that attitude of repentance, because as we go on, there may be failure, but we can repent, and the Lord will forgive. We're going to find that out as we go on in our reading of these Psalms. Praise the Lord. So, I think I have to come to a point where I see it's, woe is me. It's me, Lord. It's me. I need your salvation and your forgiveness.
So if you put a one-word title next to your psalm, what would it be?
Repentance.
Repentance, you like that? Okay, I could go with that. Let me just say one more thing. Another word that comes to mind is dissatisfaction. I think the psalmist here was dissatisfied with himself. I think he was dissatisfied with the people he dwelt among. There was a discontentment in his heart, and I think that's a good impetus for pilgrimage. I don't want to stay here. I don't want to stay where I am. I'm not content with the way things are. You know, if we're just satisfied with the things of the world, if we're satisfied with, you know, the things that we have, our possessions, if we're satisfied with our friends, not that we shouldn't have friends, but if we're just satisfied and we don't really need God, then we're not going to go to God. If you're not dissatisfied with your present spiritual condition, your present relationship with God, you're not going to make an effort to change it. And so I see here in this psalm, the psalmist says, I don't want to live among these people anymore. I don't want to deal with this anymore. I don't want to be separated from God. I want to go to God. And so I'm going to start on my journey to Jerusalem. And I think we all have to make that choice, as it were. I'm going to be a pilgrim. The first song in your Pilgrim Camp songbook there, Pilgrim Songs, is his first avowed intent to be a pilgrim. Nothing could stop him from being a pilgrim. You know, things will come in our way, and things will say, well, why go to Jerusalem? Why take that trip? It's dangerous. Why leave your family behind? What good does it do? But oh, what a blessing we miss if we don't go to our God in obedience to His word, to His call. You know, just that thought of repentance also, when you repent of something, it's like I'm walking towards James. And if I repent, what do?
It's not forgiving.
No, I turn around and I walk to my mother. You turn away from the world, as it were. You turn away from those things and you turn to God. That's repentance. That turning has to take place. Repentance is not this, you know? Mm-hmm. And I still walk in this direction. Repentance is a complete turn of direction, and I go the opposite way. And so I believe that's needed in each of us if we will truly be pilgrims. The other thought that I see here is that in the New Testament says all that live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. It seems this one who was trying to be for peace was being persecuted, as it were, by those around him. And if we're truly set on being for God, living for God day by day, there will be opposition. But God gives grace. Now just to give you an opportunity to share a little bit, we're going to continue. We'll just read through the 121st Psalm. It's a little bit more familiar to us. And then I'd like to hear your comments on that. All right? Whose turn is it to read? Is it Jason?
I lift up my eyes from the hills. Where does my help come from?
My help comes from the Lord, and maker of heaven and earth.
He will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber.
Got to be the fourth. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep.
Sister Stella?
The Lord watches over Lord Israel at your right hand. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over you.
Caitlin?
Shall preserve by going out and by coming again from this time forth and even forevermore.
Amen. Have you ever read this psalm? Sometimes called the Traveler's Psalm. All right, what verse speaks to your heart?
Like verse 7, the Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. That means God's protecting you no matter where you're at. When you're traveling or with your family or whatever you're doing, He'll always be there for you and just keep you out of harm's way.
Mm-hmm. I like the first two verses from this particular translation. I look up to the mountains. Does my help come from there? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. My doctor says that he made it all. And he's certainly capable of taking care of me, my problems.
Amen.
Verse 5, the Lord is your keeper. I believe that he keeps us on with him, even if we don't move backward. He just keeps us and brings us forward. And then the next verse, that the Lord is your shade at your right hand. I think when you're going through trials and everything, so he's there to help you through so you don't get destroyed.
And verse number 3 says, he who watches over you will not slumber. And it was written twice. Verse 4 says, he who watches over Israel will not slumber. And that catch my attention today. That God just tell me about that. He just watch over us. He never stops. 24/7. It's not like people's help that somehow I cannot find someone I really want to talk to today, but he or she may not be available. But God is available every single second.
Verse 8, the Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Almost every verse in this psalm has the words watch in it. I think it's about God watching over us, and that's just great. Because with us in time of need and time of trouble, it makes us very happy.
In the King James, it uses the word preserve 3 times in those last 2 verses. Just the word preserve first, and then it's preserving your soul, and then you're going and you're coming. Just in case you don't know what it means, he adds those 2 others. Your soul, when you come, and when you go. I like that.
What word is repeated in verse 3, 4, and 5? The one word that's repeated in each of these verses, what is it?
Watch.
What?
Watches.
Say it loud.
Watches.
He watches. What's another word?
Keeps.
In the King James.
Keeps.
Who has the King James?
He keeps.
Keep. You see that? 3. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. 4. He that keepeth Israel shall not neither slumber nor sleep. 5. The Lord is thy
keeper.
And what about 7 and 8? What is a word similar to keep?
Preserve.
The Lord shall preserve thee from what?
Soul.
All evil. He will preserve thy soul. 8. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in. From this time forth and
forevermore.
Even forevermore. I'm thankful that the Lord has been my keeper. And he preserves us. He does not pickle us. You understand? He preserves you. Strawberry jam is a preserve, right? And it's sweet. He does not pickle us.
All right, what word can we put next to this psalm then? The Lord keeps me. The Lord watches over me. Our helper.
He's always there for us.
He's always there for us. Protection, you said? Protector. All those are good. Now again, just picture... Just get the picture of the pilgrims traveling. Could you see them praying this and singing this as they traveled along? He's going to shade me from the sun. He's going to keep my foot from slipping. He's going to preserve me all along the journey. And so we too are in need of his care, his watchfulness, his protection. And how good it is that we can lift up our eyes to the hills. you know, as the pilgrims journeyed along, maybe they saw off in the distance those hills that was the destination. And that's where they were headed, and that's where, as it were, God dwelt. And so we lift up our eyes to our God in heaven, knowing that He is the one who watches over us. Now there's a song I put in the back of your books, but before we sing that, I'd like us to read together, just at the bottom of Psalm 121, I put a quotation, and for every day I tried to give you a little quotation. And if you're interested, there were two sources of those quotations. One is the book entitled The Pilgrim Psalms. It was written in 1874 by Reverend Samuel Cox. And you know, it's interesting, that just bear with me, but I was looking for a book. I had one book on these psalms, and I was looking for another one, and I went on the computer, on the internet, and what do you know, this book is on the internet, and you can download it. 1874, I was so happy when I found it. And so some of the quotations are from that book, and then the other book that I wrote some quotations from is A Long Obedience in the Same Direction by Eugene Peterson. Now, he's the fellow that gave us the Message translation of the Bible. Maybe you've seen that. And so those are the two sources. But let's read the one for 121. Can we read it together? Yes? Good. Let's stay together. I am beset with cares, night and day. Cares for myself and cares for my friends. Cares for health, physical and mental. Cares of business, cares of home. Cares about life and cares about death. Cares for both body and soul. Where shall I look for help? None can really help me but God. He will help me, and He is the maker of all things. What can I want then that He cannot give? What need I fear when He is my shield? I will trust in Him. I will rest in Him, for I have taken sanctuary in Him, who will be the health of my soul from this time forth and forevermore. Amen. Amen.